This is the grandson of Saul, who was my enemy. So David had all these emotions running through his heart there. And have you ever seen somebody, for example, that's the son of somebody you used to know, and you see a resemblance and that touches you? A year or so ago, I saw a man that I hadn't seen in about 25 years, but his father used to be one of my professors at seminary. And I walked in and sat down, and the first thing I said was, I said, "Ian, you're the spitting image of your daddy." And he says, "No, I'm not." I said, "Yes, you are. You look exactly like your father did all those years ago." Well, that touched me, and I'm sure this touched David. And as David saw poor Mephibosheth's limp legs, he wasn't like that when he was a baby. So I'm sure David said, "What happened to you?" And he hadn't been told the whole story. And so he's very moved. And David's heart went out to Mephibosheth in mercy and in kindness. Remember, the key word in all this is kindness. And now he wanted to say and show one thing to this boy, the kindness of the Lord. Verse 7 says that David tells him, "Don't fear," which tells you, of course, Mephibosheth was fearing. He was trembling. So he says, "Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you, boy. You know, you're here in the best possible place." Tender words. So now he keeps the vow that he had made to Jonathan. And then some. He restores all the inheritance, including the land, probably with interest. And he says, "It's all yours, boy. And not only that, don't live in that shack out there. Don't live with Machir. You're going to stay here in the palace with me, and you're going to eat at the king's table. You'll be banqueting with me, the best food in the kingdom. Boy, you're set up for life. Too good to be believed." Well, verse 8, Mephibosheth can hardly believe this. He grovels in gratitude. He says, "Well, what am I? I'm just a dead dog." That was an old Jewish way of saying, "I'm nothing." In 1 Samuel 24:14, David calls himself a dead dog. 2 Samuel 16:9, Abishai insults a person by calling him a dead dog. You don't go around saying, "I'm a dead dog, aren't I good?" It's like, "I'm no good." Mephibosheth is groveling in humility. "What did I do to deserve this? Nothing." And he's amazed by this, can hardly believe it. So David calls for Ziba and says, "Ziba, give the rightful land to him. It's been in trust somewhere. If there's any money, the inheritance, it goes to this young lad." And Ziba says, "Yes, sir." And there'll be no more struggling to get by. "Mephibosheth, all your prayers have been answered. Boy, you're rich. You got all these great privileges. And it's done by order of the king." I'm sure that that day in that courtroom, everybody was amazed. Probably some of the people took out handkerchiefs and wiped their eyes. "Man, what a righteous, great, gracious thing the king has done for the young boy." And of course, the greatest blessing was the privilege of eating with David at his table, to be with the king. Imagine if you could say, "I could just walk into the White House and sit down with the president any day that I want to." Great privilege. And the privilege was something that's kind of between the lines. Mephibosheth had no inheritance. Now it's given back to him. He didn't have a father. Now his father's best friend, as it were, adopts him into his family. And it's like the family he never had, he now has. And everything else to boot. And so from now on, you can see David sitting at the table and from time to time probably turning over to Mephibosheth and saying, "How you doing today? How's the wife? How's the little boy? How you getting by?" And they'd talk like that at the table, because now he had a new family. Whatever happened to him after this account? Well, his son Micah grew up and had a large family of his own, so Mephibosheth becomes a grandfather. And that's recorded in 1 Chronicles 8. And you could say Mephibosheth lived happily ever after. Well, that's the account, and I like that story. It has a happy ending. But let's now look at the great spiritual lessons that are in this story. And remember, the main lesson is David is showing the kindness of God. In our opening lesson on David, we showed that David was a man after God's own heart. We learn about God through David in the way that non-Christians can learn about God through us. We should show the kindness of God just like David did. He showed it. He displayed it. And he often sang about it in the Psalms. And we read about it. We see concrete examples. Can't you see it in certain people you know? You say that person's a kind person and that person's a Christian. God is a kind God. We should be kind as well and show the kindness of God in the way we deal with others. The kindness of God. That's one of the neglected attributes of God. You see, the attributes of God are his qualities, and some of them are, I guess you'd say, clustered together. You have his love, his mercy, his grace, his kindness. How do they differ? Well, grace is God's love for the guilty. Mercy is God's love for the miserable. And listen closely. Kindness is God's love for the helpless. Like Mephibosheth. Helpless, hopeless, hurting, alone. He received the kindness of God. Nehemiah 9:17 calls God a God of great kindness. Psalm 31:21 calls it his marvelous kindness. Isaiah 54:8 says, with everlasting loving kindness will I have compassion on you. Sometimes this word is translated kindness, sometimes loving kindness. You might say, well, what's the difference? Well, it's kind of like it's underlined when you put loving kindness in front of it. I heard a story some years ago. I think it was J. Vernon McGee told the story when he was trying to explain the difference. And he said that back in a Sunday school class once, the teacher asked, what's the difference between kindness and loving kindness? A little girl there put up her hand and says, well, I know the difference. And she said, well, when I'm sick and in bed, my mama brings me my favorite food. That's kindness. But then when she gives me a kiss on my forehead, that's loving kindness. And brethren, that's an example of what God does for us. He not only meets our needs, he shows us the mercy and the tenderness on top of it. That's his loving kindness. And don't you think David did something like that when he gave the tangible benefits to Mephibosheth and said, you can eat at my table? I imagine he said, come on, boy. I imagine it was David that picked up Mephibosheth that day and carried him out of the palace. The Bible says God is kind and God is loving, and the Bible says love is kind. Now, this word kindness is translated in a variety of ways, usually as kindness or loving kindness. And it's a very important, great Hebrew word. Okay, it's time for me to teach you a little bit of Hebrew. If you're going to learn one word of Hebrew, it's this word here. And the Hebrew word is chesed. And it's a word that every Jew knows. Believe me, you go over to Israel, walk down the streets of Jerusalem and says, anybody know the word chesed? They'll laugh at you. They'll say, well, of course we know what that is. It's like asking an American, do you know what the word love is? Chesed means grace, kindness. But it also has the implication of faithful love. I will always love you. I will love you and show it to you and meet all of your needs, inside and out, physical and spiritual. I will wipe away tears. When all others forsake you, I will never forsake you. It's a covenantal love, like the love David pledged to Jonathan and vice versa. That's the love God has for his people. He marries his people, as it were, with a covenant and says, I will love you and I will always love you. Romans 11:22 says, behold the kindness of the Lord. Now this picture, this story is a picture of the kindness of the Lord in a variety of ways. And one of them is this. This is, as it were, a living parable about how God shows loving kindness in saving a helpless sinner. Let me explain. We are all born in sins and we are like Mephibosheth. We're helpless. We have no inheritance. We need help. We are like Mephibosheth. We are spiritually crippled. The Bible says we don't walk in God's ways. Mephibosheth says, I am unworthy. I am a dead dog. We are like dead dogs spiritually. We're worthless mongrels, as it were, spiritually dead in sin. This lad was descended from Saul, who is a wicked king. Spiritually, we are descended from the devil. We are sons of Satan, and we deserve to be punished, not to be rewarded. But David says, I'm going to show you kindness. Now, note, follow this closely. David says, I'm going to show kindness to this boy because of the covenant I had with his father. God shows us kindness and saving love because of a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. We don't deserve it, but Jesus does, and the covenantal love goes to us. This is what we call in theology sovereign grace. Totally undeserved, but it comes to us because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're sovereignly bestowed upon us, just like it was given to Mephibosheth, and he didn't deserve it. You might say, wait a second, that was his rightful inheritance. Yes, but he didn't deserve to be adopted into the king's family or to sit at his table. He was given an abundant kindness. You see, the Lord Jesus, when he saves a soul, he just doesn't restore us to the situation Adam was in before he fell. Brethren, we get more than Adam ever had in the Garden of Eden. We are adopted into God's family. God overwhelms us with superabundant blessings. Another lesson. Mephibosheth probably felt everything was lost and he had no future ahead of him. And then he had that knock on the door and he feared for his life. And then the soldiers forcibly carried him and he was fearful. That's a picture of what happens to the sinner that's lost. He's fearful. And then God comes and confronts him. And he doesn't understand what's happening. And God begins to deal with that sinner. And he feels fear. And he feels like he's been carried against his will somewhere. And then he is increasingly afraid. We call that conviction of sin. Where that lost sinner is being drawn to God. And he's afraid he's going to be punished. But he misunderstands the situation. By the way, do you also see... anybody see one of the 5 points of Calvinism here? Already? Write it down. Irresistible grace. The soldiers irresistibly brought him to the king. God sends out his Holy Spirit and irresistibly brings that lost sinner to Christ. And he doesn't understand at first what's happening. And then when he's brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the curtains are opened and he realizes he's been given a great privilege. That conviction of sin and fear now turns to conversion, and the Holy Spirit produces gratitude and humility and love and faith in us. And just like David says, don't fear, God gives to that sinner now the assurance, your sins are forgiven you, you belong to me, you will eat at my table, I adopt you into my family. And we're overwhelmed by this. 1 Samuel 2:8 says, he raises the poor from the dust, he lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. And just like in this account here, David calls for servants to take care of Mephibosheth. When we become Christians, God assigns servants to us. The Bible calls them angels that look after God's people. And the great privilege in this story is Mephibosheth now belongs to David's family and eats with him. Our great privilege is we belong to Jesus and we commune with him deep in our hearts. We know him and we love him. Now, some of the analogy breaks down. For example, at the end of this account, Mephibosheth is still lame in his feet. When a person becomes a Christian, there will still be certain difficulties in life that he has to go through until he leaves this life and he'll be given a new body in which he won't be lame anymore. Do you see how David is like the Lord Jesus in this, and we are like Mephibosheth in this story? So that's one of the lessons we can learn from this wonderful account. Now, as we conclude, let me give you some practical applications drawn from this account in which we can imitate David. David, as it were, was showing the kindness of God to Mephibosheth. We should be like David in various ways. Number one, write this down. I got a short list of 10 here. Number one, it says David honored his vow and his covenant that he had made years earlier. He didn't look for loopholes and saying, well, they're all dead, I guess I'm free. No. Years after making the vow, he still kept it. Better late than never. Lesson for us is this. We still need to keep our covenants, our vows, and our oaths, no matter how difficult, no matter how long ago we made them before God. Even if we've forgotten them, if we've gotten lax, it's still not too late to keep your vows. Secondly, we should imitate old Machir here. I'm not told much about this old fella, except that he showed hospitality to a young person in need. We should be like that. He didn't say, Mephibosheth, you got what's coming to you. Get out of here. Go, you know, get on the dole or go beg in the temple or somewhere. No, he showed hospitality to this young boy, and so should we. Maybe you know somebody that's in need, and you can kind of take them under your wing and say, I want to help you out. Maybe someone that, you know, some child in the neighborhood that, you know, comes from a broken family. Maybe you know someone at work that doesn't have a friend in the world. You be their friend. You show hospitality, and in doing so, show the kindness of God. Number three, we can be like Mephibosheth. In this account, he was very humble and grateful. When he came before the king, he says, what am I but a dead dog? I mean, what was the last time you prayed and said, Lord, I'm just a dead dog. I'm a rotten old cur. We should be humble and grateful like Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth didn't talk back to David. He didn't say, it's about time you restored my inheritance. No, he was humble and grateful, and so should we be. Number four, David showed grace to his enemy's grandson. He didn't hold a grudge. Neither should we. We should not hold grudges. We should bury the hatchet. We should say, well, maybe that person has something against me, but I'm not going to be to him like he is to me. I'm going to peel it up to God. I'll be willing to forgive. David was willing to say, well, Saul was my worst enemy, but I'm not going to take it out on Mephibosheth. He was willing to show grace to the young boy. And we should be like that, too, to our enemies and to their families. Number five, David had received kindness, and he shows it. And you have to remember the account. When David was on the run from Saul, Jonathan, as it were, stood in the gap between them and said, I will show you kindness and protect your life. Now Jonathan's gone. David is now standing in the gap, as it were. He had received kindness. He's showing it. You remember what Jesus said? He said, you have received freely, therefore give freely. We have received God's kindness. Let's show kindness to other people. Display it like David says, I want to show the kindness of God. Let me just apply this in a personal way. Are you a person that is known by your friends as being a kind person? We should be. Not cruel, not, you know, saying I'm going to get my pound of flesh and boy, everybody's going to back off for me. They'll know who's top dog in this neighborhood. No, no, no. That's the way of the world, not the way of God. We should be known for being kind. Even to non-Christians might say, well, I don't believe his gospel. I think it's a lot of hooey. But I'll say one thing about that person. He or she is a kind person. I'd go to him if I've got a broken heart and he can wipe away my tears. We should be like that. And it becomes part of our character, and other people will recognize this. I remember when I served a church in Dallas years ago, we had a lady there that she was always bringing people to church that didn't quite fit in. They were the outcasts of society, and they were people that were hurting. She brought in people that were drunks, the outcasts, all sorts of people. But she brought them in with a big smile and would introduce them and would welcome them then. And I remember I was talking with her, and I said, Irie, I can guess what you were like when you were a young child. And she said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, when you were a girl back there on that ranch back in Arkansas, I bet you were always bringing in some wounded bird that had a broken wing or, you know, some little dog that had three legs and one eye. And she said, how did you know I was doing that? And I said, you've got it in your character. God built it into you over a long period of time. She was kind. Brethren, we should be kind like that. Bring people into church, bring them to the Lord Jesus in such a way that they know the kindness of the Lord. David had a reputation for being kind. So should we. Number 6. David looked for a way to show the kindness of the Lord. He called in Ziba and says, is there somebody? How can we do this? Is there some gift? We too should look for ways. Look for people to show it to. And say, now how can I help that person? He's in need. What's the best way I can help him so I don't, you know, wound his dignity and make him feel no good? How can I think about it? Pray about it. God has given opportunities to everybody here. You may know somebody you can show kindness to. Think and pray about it. How can I show kindness to these people? Kind of like those old little bracelets. What would Jesus do? Jesus was the kindest person. Imitate him. What would Jesus do with the people you know? Will you do it on his behalf? Number 7 says David showed kindness to a handicapped person. He was physically handicapped, and we need to show kindness to people that can't help themselves and can't pay us back. Remember, Jesus told the story once. He says to his apostles, you know, most people, when they have a banquet, they invite their friends. And they like to invite the high and mighty that they want to impress. He says, but not you. He says, when you throw a banquet, when you have a party, he says, go out and invite the beggars and the no good people that people don't want to have anything to do with. You invite them in. And that's what Jesus did. Of course, he invited everybody, but who are the ones that came to Jesus by and large? It was the down and outs, the Mephibosheths. We should be like Jesus and show kindness to people that can't pay us back. And particularly the people that are really hurting and needy and helpless. Number 8, be kind. Jesus says that if people are kind to pull their donkey out of a ditch, shouldn't we be kind to people? You remember he was kind to a man and healed him, and the Pharisees got angry. And he says, you guys will pull your donkey out of a ditch on the Sabbath. Shouldn't I show kindness to this man by healing him? Curious, there are people that will show kindness to animals, but not to people. We should show kindness to animals, but even more so to people in their helplessness. Our heart should go out to them like David did to Mephibosheth. Number 9, let's tell people about the kindness God has shown to us and invite them to the table, as it were. Invite them to the banqueting table, as it were. We can be like those soldiers bringing people in to the palace. We can say, the Lord has shown us kindness. We want to show you some of the great blessings God has given to us. Tell them not just that they're guilty sinners, but tell them about the love of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, forgiveness, heaven and all the benefits. Kind of whet their appetites to become Christians. Invite them to the table of the Lord. Lastly, in number 10, Mephibosheth sat at David's table the rest of his life and feasted with the king. Brethren, let us do the same with our king. There's a song that says, he has brought me into his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. The Lord has brought us into his banqueting table. Let us eat at his table. You say, well, how? Well, one way is this table that's laid out for us, communion. This is the table of the Lord where we commune with him and we eat at his table regularly, and we appreciate his love and kindness for us. But also, beyond just this physical table, we should eat at his banqueting table as a member of his family in love and gratitude and communion with our heart, just like Mephibosheth, humbly and gratefully. Let us be like the various people in this account and thereby learn more of the kindness of the Lord and show it to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for putting into your word this wonderful account of David and Mephibosheth, the kindness of God. Thank you that you showed us kindness, O Lord, when we didn't deserve it. And now when we come to this table, your table, we eat at your table and remember our David, our King, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.